Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. We start in China. Chris has reported for some months that the Chinese business plan is troubled. It is now routinely on the front page of the Bloomberg News, of the Financial Times News, certainly of the city newspapers in London, New York, and Washington, that China is looking for outside investors. It's looking for a way to go forward with the collapsing property market, with the consumer hesitating, and with stories, routine stories of tighter and tighter state control on businesses. Chris, a very good evening to you. Your measure of the manufacturing, especially in the Pearl River Valley, which is the high-end electronics, suggests that the credit environment in China is now desperate. The unemployment situation is not improving. We know officially it's 20%. Is there anything you've heard about a remedy for this to keep the factories lit, to keep their workforces in place, to keep orders coming in? Or have they reached the end of their tether, knowing that another stimulus plan won't work? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. From the domestic manufacturing in China for export, you continue to see in the electronics industry factories going around hat in hand, begging for orders in the future. So they're trying to bring in cash now. They're trying to keep factories open. They're trying to keep those wheels moving, but are having increasingly greater headwinds. You're now starting to see in some of the Chinese-sponsored press in China more and more talk of stimulus, more and more talk of the Chinese government becoming involved to try to tap and restart that domestic consumer marketplace. What you're seeing from the Chinese are typically profligate savers and not outspending money on consumer goods, electronics sector, etc. Chinese government wants to try to kickstart that market domestically because the export markets are flat, but the Chinese people are having none of it.
The push for surveillance, there's a counter-espionage law. The Financial Times picks up this story, most recently, multinationals in China accelerate push to decouple data. I think the idea here is to create a closed system that's in China only, that doesn't have a connection to your outside communication, so that if you sell widgets, you sell shoes, you don't record that sale in a fashion that you can have access to from Brussels or from Paris. Does that make sense? Is that imaginable to have a shoe store that's only in China and that shares no data with the corporation that's paying for it?
Yeah, John, I think the real focus is probably around telecommunications technology. You've seen how the U.S. government has gone very hard at Huawei globally, at ZTE globally. It's very well known on a broad base that if you control that telecommunications infrastructure, you have access to the data across that. Historically, that's been a global market with companies like Nokia, the Finns, with companies in the U.S. Having substantial control over that. As the Chinese have grown, they understand that that's a strategic industry. The new Chinese laws on the limiting of data is to try to make sure that there are no holes or leaks for that type of equipment or that type of data use to exfil China specifically. But also watch, there's a lot of rumors now happening in China about around first of the year, a new series of laws coming in of tax structure to be imposed on U.S. corporations in China as part of this ongoing trade war between the Biden administration and the Xi administration. So the level of pressure that's ratcheting up on businesses, especially American businesses, to do business in China is making it less and less viable going forward.
Reading about the history of the Cultural Revolution, 66 to 76, although the worst of it, the violence, was 66 to 68, the Red Guards were a fever that swept the country and were endorsed by the leadership, and they broke things. They broke everything. They broke the spirit of learning. They certainly broke their futures, and they're haunted by it now. These are people in their 60s and 70s. The reason I mention it is that that fever sounds something similar to what's going on out of Beijing, not an opening up of the country, but a closing down of the country and enforcing rules like this anti-espionage law that's guaranteed to make it unhealthy for anybody who's not a Chinese Communist Party member to travel to China. Is that the intention? Are they closing down, Chris?
They're 100% closing down more and more points. There are several things going on. When Mr. Xi gave his last speech at his last, and I'm going to use the air quotes, re-election as party chair, he said to in his speech, if you're successful in China, that's good. If you're too successful, you're corrupt. That was the Red Guard warning trigger, where you had large numbers of Chinese who were very successful try to get out of the country. That trend has kept going all of this year, where you have Chinese government officials, you have wealthy Chinese trying to move their money and their families out of China. That is why part of why you have this big capital drain happening in money moving out of China and people being afraid that success being a bad thing. The Xi administration can use that as a lever of influence to say, if you speak out against the administration, clearly you're corrupt because you're too successful. So it's simply a lever of power in the way China works.
This is then a failure of the whole system, and it's not a secret. It's seen everywhere around the world that China is closing and that we can't help them. Is that true in Europe? Is that true in other parts of Asia?
I think the Europeans are still somewhat behind where the U.S. is in terms of the power curve, because they still see China as a customer state. And the Germans, as an example, love the idea of selling more manufacturing tools into China. That being said, with the slowdown, the economic interests are pivoting back to the U.S. as the key customer nation around the world and that driver of growth. Now in China, all of those infrastructure projects, whether rail or cities or other, Belt and Road, where money has been spent foolishly, those bills and that debt is coming due, and they don't have the money to pay for it.
Coming home to America, you've also been identifying the trouble that major cities, especially from Los Angeles to San Francisco to New York, are encountering in returning to normal. The office buildings in New York, for example, are only 47% filled compared to 2019. Subway ridership is only about in the high 60s compared to 2019. San Francisco is the city that everyone talks about because of the obvious deterioration on the street. But Mark Benioff of Salesforce has said that San Francisco is not going to return to its 2019 state no matter what they do. The mayor is talking about using the San Francisco State College staff or the unified education staff of San Francisco area to fill those empty buildings. This all sounds extreme, Chris. Is there a moment where the big cities are going to bottom out and then come back? Or are we talking about rebuilding how America does business?
Well, John, it's certainly going to change the landscape of some of those cities. Will San Francisco or New York cease to exist? No. But if you look back historically, they've gone through good periods and bad periods. This is probably one of those rougher periods. The real question is, how do you restart the economic engines that made them into such great cities? It's the statement to say, hey, we'll fill empty buildings with students is a stopgap. The real question should be, how do you build new tech companies that will organically consume those buildings and drive and grow new wealth to refund that infrastructure? So until we solve the economic problems, these are all just patches or band-aids around the fundamental problem of how do you re-kickstart tech economy? How do you restart American economy to give reason to invest in the cities? Do you need the same amount of office space? No, that's likely going to continue to shrink, but those buildings can be converted for other uses, residential or other. It's just how quickly will that happen, and what secondary economic impacts will that have on all the banks that have provided loans on those buildings that are now maybe worthless?
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.